Hello, and welcome to the Military Housing Podcast, presented by Hope Now Alliance and ClearPoint Financial Solutions. I'm Ray Penny. And we're here with practical advice and precautionary warnings to help you navigate your way through the often challenging minefield we call off-base military housing. And if ever you'd like to weigh in on our conversation here on the Military Housing Podcast, you can go to our website, hopenow.com, or you can email your ideas and questions to military@hopenow.com. We've got a wonderful podcast planned for you today, and our guests will be talking from the title of Feedback from the Front Lines. We've got two U.S. Army active duty personnel. They're going to speak to us from Joint Bases Lewis McChord out there way, way far away in Washington. And we're going to have a very frank and powerful discussion on sort of what's going on in terms of our military personnel. Well, the real estate market is recovering. An estimated 54,000 homeowners in Pierce County, Washington, still owe more than their homes are worth. And with this, along with the other challenges that we're being faced, it's going to be the basis of our conversation today. The specific question asked to these families are, as a service member, military family member, retiree, or DOD employee, what unique financial challenges have you faced serving your country while making a home for you and your family? And so without further ado, I will introduce Staff Sergeant Josh.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
And we also have a DOD civilian from Housing Services, Scott. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Doing fantastic. We really appreciate you both taking the time out of your busy schedules to help answer some questions and to give some feedback and share some experiences regarding this very important sector.
We'll see what we can do for you.
Okay, sounds good. I've got several questions that have been turned in, and so we'll start at the top and kind of work our way through them, and both of you feel free to interject as needed. The first comment is having to do with an unaccompanied tour to Alaska, and because the housing market isn't strong enough and we wouldn't get enough renting to cover the mortgage payment, the person states, I remember a few years ago the Army was preaching stabilization. I know many families who had to sacrifice their credit score because they were told that and bought and then had to move again.
Well, one thing, and I hate to say it, one thing we got to realize is we joined the military, and we joined the military, we know we're going to move. That being said, I looked at this question, and I kind of think with these folks here, they would almost be better off trying to rent the house here, moving the whole family to Alaska. Now, if there's a difference between what the rent is and the mortgage is, I'm going to hope it's only going to be a couple hundred dollars, which is going to be cheaper than running two households. And not only that, that $200 that they're losing every month, they're going to be able to take advantage of that on their taxes at the end of the year.
And just a little bit extra here from my perspective, when you do a PCS move unaccompanied, it presents a lot of challenges. We don't know if the service member who did PCS to Alaska is able to live in the barracks there as a geographical bachelor, or if his command has not had the availability to let him live in the barracks. If he's maintaining an entirely separate household for himself up there, they're losing money, more money than what they'd be losing if they had just moved the family as a whole to Alaska and then cover the difference in whatever rent they'd asked for here in Washington. So a little bit of pre-planning can avoid some costly mistakes.
Oh, excellent. And sort of along the same lines of being transient, because you are in the military, it says, we are due to PCS soon, which is permanent change of station. I am absolutely terrified of the thought of having to make a mortgage payment and rent. We would love to sell, but as with many, when we PCS back stateside, it was at the peak of the housing market in 2007. We were very careful and stayed well below our budget, but we are still upside down and know we still have a huge hit. And I think this is a problem that we probably see quite frequently, not just in Washington, but nationwide.
Yeah, it's kind of an epidemic right now with what's going on. There's a couple of programs they should be looking into is the HAMP program, Home Affordable Modification Program. There's certain criteria that you have to meet to use this program. And then the HARP is also the Affordable Refinance Program. Both of these can be found at makinghomeaffordable.gov. And these are two programs it's possible that you can qualify for and help you save in your financial loss. So I would definitely look at both of those to see which one you may be able to use.
there are some criteria for eligibility, and one of the most important ones that people need to know is that this program is for people who are delinquent or in danger of falling behind on the mortgage. So this is, I won't say it's a last-ditch effort, but this is one of those programs that's there to save you if you have no other options. There are some limits on what you can owe for your property, but they're very high. They're in the $730,000 price range, and most homeowners fall well below that. The important thing here to also take away from this is there are a lot of people who purchased homes back in the peak of the housing market, and this person has been in one duty station for 7 years. So, again, for me, it always goes back to having some realistic expectations of, as Scott mentioned, you're going to move. And also planning. 7 years is a long time to have a backup plan in terms of how you're going to be able to cover the cost of your rent when you inevitably will come up on PCS orders.
Okay, and are there some suggestions on how one could cover them, or you know, to kind of develop that backup plan?
Yes, I think first of all, we're going to go back to the first example. It's much easier to rent a home when you move away and cover a small difference in what you're able to rent and what you owe. And that's assuming it's a small difference. It could be a big difference. However, if you have to cover that cost and take that financial hit, try to do it on a temporary plan until you can sell the home. But refinancing should be something you should explore right up front to lower your monthly payments, make it easier to rent that home, you know, with some of the comps based around you. Find out what your comps are renting for. See if you can fit into that price range after your refinance, and talk with your lender, see if they're willing to work with you.
That sounds like great advice. Okay, our next question is, one of our challenges was or is a homeowner occupied versus income property. When the HARP and HAMP programs were first introduced, we were overseas and disqualified from the programs because we were not occupying our house. The programs were modified about 3 years later to include non-owner-occupied properties, but the interest rates were 1.25% higher than the owner-occupied interest rates. By the time we returned to the United States and could occupy our house again, the interest rate had increased, making refinancing unattractive. Therefore, we lost thousands, in parentheses, over $100,000 in savings over the life of the loan because we were doing an overseas tour. And so I think what they're asking here is what could they have done to prevent that from happening?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think they were kind of silly not taking the rate they could have got. I mean, during that time, rates were pretty low. And I understand, I don't remember what you said it was, but the additional interest rate is understandable because the home's no longer owner-occupied, so they know that it's a rental, so that they know that it's not going to be taken care of. They're putting up a greater risk of the property being damaged and things like that. So that's why they're charging that extra percentage. It's unfortunate that they didn't take it. What can they do now, depending on what their rates are? They should be looking at, can they refinance to a lower interest rate? Are they under the VA? If they're not, look at the VA side of it. I think everybody in these types of situations should be using the resources available. One of the best ones they have on insulation is the Armed Forces Community Service. They have financial counselors there. There's no charge to use it, and that's what they're there for. So take and use it where you need it.
Very good. Very, very good. And so what I'd like to do now, we've had some interesting comments, and a lot of them have to deal with just simply the stress and the hardships that one goes through when they're PCSing out. So I'd like to hear from kind of each of your perspectives on some advice and maybe what you'd recommend for some due diligence things, sort of a checklist or something that one should do prior to homeownership and then as homeowners prior to PCSing.
As for myself, I have chosen not to buy a home right now. I came in the Army as a private, so on top of the financial hardships that accompany that, particularly with a family, I have my wife and I have two children. I didn't think it was smart for me to take on that kind of financial responsibility with so much uncertainty. We kind of discussed this, Scott and I did, about young soldiers wanting to buy a home right at the beginning of their career. And a good example is myself. And with just over 7 years in the Army, I'm coming up on my fourth PCS. And that's a lot of moving. And the stress of moving alone is pretty great. Dealing with trying to sell or rent a home and having very little expendable income to cover any differences that I might come across, it did not make good sense for me to purchase a home. I'm not saying that everybody should follow that same path, but I do think it's something that should be considered by junior soldiers or even new soldiers, regardless of their rank. New officers coming into the Army should probably approach this the same way. You're going to be doing a lot of PCSing in your first 5 years to 7 years. Probably should hold off on home ownership until you've gotten established in the Army. Learn to navigate the waters a little bit.
Sounds good.
Well, just to jump off what Josh said a little bit, I have to agree with as far as owning a home when you're in the military. I did over 20 years in the military. I never bought a home till it was time to retire, and I'm really glad I didn't, because you do move. I was around when they were really preaching, hey, longer duty stations, because there was no wars going on. They were talking about you're going to stay there 6-7 years. I think I PCS probably, I don't know, dozen times, so that really worked out good, right, in 20 years. I've also, I retired, and I have a home currently that I rent, and it's underneath, and, you know, you got to be prepared. I think the rule is have 6 months of mortgage payments in your account if you're going to be doing a rental, because you don't know that property could go. So you really got to prepare yourself in the military. If you are going to buy a house, then you need to buy a house knowing that you're probably going to be renting that house out someday, unless you're, you know, independently wealthy and you can afford to make that payment and let it sit empty. So you need to prepare yourself. Get that, put those savings away. Have a, I would say, at least a minimum of 6 months of mortgage payments there. So if the house does go empty, you can still catch it up. Do your research when you go to get a property manager. Okay, that's your home. That's an investment. Nobody's going to take care of it like you do, but you're hoping that you're going to find somebody who's going to really oversee what's going on and help you take care of your property. I can't stress that enough. But bottom line is, don't buy a house outside your means. And we do that a lot in the military because, you know, we're here. It looks good. We can afford it. We get it. And we buy something that we think we're going to retire, and we buy this great big house. And you know what? I think first-time home buyers, it's less than like 5% keep their house or something like that. I don't know that that's a specific, but it's very low that you're going to keep the first house that you buy. So do your duty and save up and plan accordingly.
I just wanted to add, one of the rules of thumb that we try to help service members out with is there is a percentage that we tell them is a good idea to stick with when choosing for rental. I don't see why it can't be applied to buying, but there are some extra considerations. 80% of your BAH is to be allocated for rent, and 20% is to be allocated for your utilities and renter's insurance, and that is the structure that we follow when we're doing some of our research for the local BAH rates. You can still apply that in general terms, not specifics, but in general terms, you can apply that to home ownership as well as how much you're willing to invest in the mortgage versus the homeowner's insurance, whatever other costs are going to go into your escrow. Some points are brought up that a lot of service members want to know, well, I have a spouse that works. Doesn't that change the percentages of what we can put into a home? How much can we afford per month? And the short answer is yes, but the long answer is not exactly. Along with PCS, there are challenges that come along with spouses finding work. So there could be a break in income, meaning that the service member for an unspecified period of time could end up being the sole income. So if you've depended on that secondary income to help pay that first mortgage, you PCS, if you don't have a renter lined up, now you're not only maintaining two households, but you're doing it on one income. This is extremely common for soldiers PCSing to overseas areas like Germany or Korea, Belgium, anywhere in the Europe area, really. So just some extra things to consider when determining how much can you actually afford, how much house should you buy.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate that. Okay, and so as we're moving forward, there's one thing that we keep hearing about, and I'd love to get both Joshua and Scott's feedback on that, and that's regarding last-minute orders and how a service member should plan ahead and kind of take steps to prepare. Can you kind of walk us through what that looks like and what we should be doing?
the term last minute orders, we kind of roll our eyes at that term. It's a common term, but it's really it's not an appropriate way to describe how orders come down. Last minute orders don't really exist. There are orders in the pipeline for weeks, sometimes months, and you typically have resources out there to help you determine if you're on assignment, if you're projected for an assignment. For enlisted, for example, you have your ERB. There is data on there that can tell you if you're projected for an assignment. There are online tools such as the ASK, the Assignment Satisfaction Key, that will tell you if you're projected. Your personnel office, when they get information knowing that you are on an outbound roster or you are projected to be leaving the unit, that information comes down the pipeline. It doesn't always work. It's not a perfect system. And, yes, you can be caught off guard. But, again, that comes down to the service member being responsible and keeping an eye on their records, you know, to know when they're coming up on assignment. If you've been in a duty station for any time longer than 18 months to 24 months, you need to start making it a habit to check your records and see if you're projected.
Scott, do you have anything you would like to add to this?
Josh hit it pretty good. Late orders normally mean they haven't received a paper copy. Everybody knows when they're getting ready to go. There are some instances, but they're very few. It might come with special ops or, you know, somebody's orders actually did get dropped through the system there. And all you can do is as soon as you know about your orders, if it truly is last minute, start planning from there. But those are very seldom. And the types of people that receive last minute orders are already normally prepared for these types of situations, and it's because of the job that they do in the military. Last minute orders, like I said, is they just haven't received the paper copy, so they don't think they can do anything. Once you've been notified that you are possibly on assignment, you should start making plans then. Yeah, they can change and you're not going nowhere, and it'll be okay to cancel those plans. But if you wait till the last minute to start getting ready, it's not going to be easy because there's a lot of things you got to do to prepare yourself. So, as Josh said, you usually know 6 months out that you're on assignment someplace. So, it is your responsibility to check your documents and see what's going on in your military career. So,
and again, touching back on what I said earlier, it's all about pre-planning. There's no reason that when you're buying a home, part of the decision to buy should also be planning for the future. You know you're going to PCS. Regardless of when it happens or where you're going, you know that at some point you can expect to leave the home that you're going to buy. So have contingency plans. If we go to Europe, this is what we need to do. If we PCS stateside, this is what we need to do. This is how much money we need to have saved up to cover us. This is the direction we need to go. Are we going to rent? Are we going to sell? There's no reason that you should be caught with zero plan in the event that you come up on assignment. Doesn't matter if you were given 6 months notice or 6 days notice, you need to have a plan in place. And that is only to protect yourself.
Oh, perfect. Well, that makes good sense.
It's all too easy for us to say, well, no one notified me of this. If the resources are out there and they're at your disposal to educate yourself and to help you prepare for an upcoming PCS, use them.
Very good. Well, gentlemen, I really, really appreciate your time today. You've given us some great feedback from the front lines, as it were, and some positive information that we can utilize for all of not just the folks in Pierce County, Washington, but across the country that are serving our country every single day. And so I want to thank you both for your service and for what you've done and for what you're currently doing to assist those in the ways of navigating this homeownership or renting component of our lives. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
The Military Housing Podcast is a production of Hope Now Alliance in partnership with ClearPoint Financial Solutions. To learn more about Hope Now and ClearPoint, please visit hopenow.com and clearpointccs.org. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or send comments, please email military@hopenow.com.